Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This month, Protestants are commemorating the 500th anniversary of the start of the Protestant Reformation in the 1600s. 500 years ago this month, the monk and university teacher Martin Luther wanted to initiate some debate. And so he drew up a list of things that he wanted to talk about, and we call these the 95 Theses. And traditionally, he is said to have posted those on the door of the church in Wittenberg. But of course, the story didn't just begin there. Luther wasn't the first one to have some of these ideas. He wasn't the only one. But it's usually helpful to have one action to point to as the turning point. And so we cite October 31st, 1517, as the beginning of the Reformation. And we acknowledge that significant changes in the religious institutions followed as a result of that event. Now, I'm going to be preaching a couple sermons inspired by this Reformation anniversary, but I want to reassure you I'm not going to be delving too deeply into the history of the Reformation. Shirley's been doing a good job with her Faith and Fact, so you're getting some historical data there, and there have been several good TV programs about Luther and the Reformation. I see that there's still out on a table back there a couple of pamphlets that I found lying around the church about Luther. Please take one as long as they last. They're not enough for everyone, but please feel free to take one if you'd like it. Luther was a major figure in something that had implications for all of us. He is one of our ancestors in faith, even if you don't consider yourself to be Lutheran. So what I'm really interested in, more than Luther's conflict with the Pope, or more than the way Luther changed some of the political landscape of his time, I'm really interested in Luther's view of God. You may know that Luther had several emotional crises that led him to God. First, as a young law student in 1505, he was caught in a violent thunderstorm. And you can probably imagine the torrents of rain coming down and the bolts of lightning getting ever closer and the booms of the thunder as he ran through the night. And you can probably understand how terrified he was to be caught in that thunderstorm. He was so terrified that he might die in that thunderstorm that he made a vow. He vowed that if he survived, he would become a monk. He did survive, obviously. And perhaps what is more surprising is he kept his vow shortly thereafter. He entered a religious order called the Augustinian Hermits, and he became a good monk. He rose quickly into positions of responsibility. One of those was he soon became a lecturer at the University of Wittenberg. And he gave a series of lectures on the Psalms and on the Book of Romans. In one of these lectures, he describes the image of humans after the fall from Eden. He describes humans as so trapped in sin that both body and spirit are twisted up claustrophobically without any escape from their agony, turned in on themselves. This is a pretty dramatic, scary image. In fact, Luther appears to have been plagued by religious anxiety. He came to doubt his own salvation. Was he saved? Even though he was immersed in religious life, he wondered about this. And I would have to say maybe he wondered about this because he was so immersed in religious life. We religious people can sometimes think things over way too much. So Luther made frequent visits to the confessional to seek forgiveness for his sins. And he wasn't making any really big sins, just the everyday omissions and commissions of human life. And yet still, even after having received forgiveness through the priest, Luther felt God's fury against his sin. Now the second emotional religious crisis that Luther had. You may have also heard about this one. It's often called the Tower Experience. And he later said that it happened around 1513. Apparently, he was reading Romans, more specifically, Romans 1, 16 to 17, our text today. Luther experienced a conversion from his agonized turmoil, a conversion to release, as he came to understand the key role of faith in salvation. And many years later, Luther wrote, "At this, I felt myself straightway born afresh, and I felt I had entered through the open gates into paradise itself." That was a big emotional experience. And this realization about faith was foundational to everything that Luther believed and did from that point onward. Now, I have to say that I think that I may be at the opposite end of the spectrum from Luther. I've never felt a sense of God's fury. I've never worried about my salvation. I've never thought that I might be unforgivable. I have never experienced Luther's sense of relief and release. I don't think this makes my faith either better or worse than Luther's. I think it just shows that I'm a product of a very different time and place. In this time, we assume that humans have some worth and some value. Preachers in this time proclaim God's love and mercy far more than we proclaim God's anger. Maybe I just don't have the imagination to see how my failings might be offensive to God. Luther certainly had that imagination. I suspect that most people are actually on a spectrum between what I see as Luther's deep anxiety over his salvation at one end, and perhaps at the other end of the spectrum, a unquestioning overconfidence in one's own salvation. And I encourage you to think about where you might put yourself on that spectrum. Are you anxious? Are you confident? Are you somewhere in between? Do you think you're going to heaven? Do you worry about going to hell? Although I have to say that in this day and age, I really don't think that we worry quite as much as Luther did about either heaven or hell. I think we think more about life as we know it as our barometer of salvation. Do we have friends and loved ones? Do we have reasonably good health? Do we have clean water and safe shelter? Do we have good work or adequate financial provision? These may represent aspects of God's salvation for us. Luther found his answer about salvation in Scripture, and he cites Paul's letter to Romans 1, 16 to 17 as central to his newfound hope. In that letter, Paul writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, by faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." Faith, for Luther, and perhaps for many of us, came to mean that salvation is received by faith instead of earned by the number of good works that you do. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more next week. Faith is trust in God, not necessarily having the right thoughts about God, but trusting in God and God's faithfulness. So where does our faith come from? We don't make it up ourselves. It comes from God. God gives us this salvation. God's faithfulness awakens in us a faithful response. I know this is a little dense. I know it may, in fact, go against some of what you would prefer to believe. I think that we, like Luther, are inclined to put ourselves first. we're inclined to view our own actions, our own beliefs, even our own faith, as the most important element in our salvation. We are inclined to believe that we do it all, we save ourselves. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that salvation comes from God's power, not ours. God's power displayed in the gospel event of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And by the way, for Paul, who was a Jew, speaking from his Jewish background, for Paul, when he's talking about salvation, he's speaking from a tradition in which the key element of salvation is the rescue of Israel from oppression, whether that is oppression in Egypt, oppression in Babylon, oppression by Rome, salvation in the here and now, more than life after death. Now, of course, Jesus does conquer death at Easter, but also for us now during this life, Jesus frees us from all that oppresses us, from all that keeps us in bondage, including that terrible anxiety that Luther had about what will happen after death. Paul announces that the gospel message about Jesus opens people's eyes for the very first time, that this is what God has been up to all along, and this is what God is going to continue to do in the future. Jesus is the spearhead of God's age to come. Now, you should know that Luther's emotional certainty, which he experienced after that crisis in the tower, it didn't last. Most emotional certainty does not last. Instead, Luther struggled on and off with his doubts for much of his life. And some scholars have pointed out that early on, Luther doubted whether God is gracious to himself personally, but later he worried that he might have led other people astray, so he had an additional sense of responsibility there. But on and off, Luther experienced severe depression. In 1527, 10 years after he posted these 95 theses, he wrote to a friend, "For more than a week, I was close to the gates of death and hell. I trembled in all my members. Christ was wholly lost. I was shaken by desperation and blasphemy of God." For Luther, faith was not something that you mounted in a gold setting and then admired anytime you felt like it. Faith, instead, was the object of an agonizing search over and over again. For Luther, faith came and went, as did those emotional peaks and valleys that he had. And what Luther did when he had those emotional valleys was he sought support in the aids of the church. He remembered his baptism, and whenever he felt that he was assailed by Satan, he would say, "I am baptized." But even more than that was his reliance upon Scripture. Scripture for Luther was the written record of the revelation of God in Christ. And I'm reading from Roland Baton, who is a biographer of Luther. Luther said, "The true Christian pilgrimage is not to Rome or Compostela, but to the prophets, the Psalms, and the Gospels. The Scriptures assumed for Luther an overwhelming importance, not as a source book for anti-papal polemics, but as the one ground of certainty." For Luther, Scripture was the one ground of certainty. In moments of despondency, Luther could find no certainty within himself, but utter blackness. He was completely lost unless he could find something on which to lay hold. And this he found in Scripture, in passages like Romans 1, 16 to 17. The gospel of Jesus Christ remained constant, even though Luther's emotions varied. He found reassurance in the gospel, reassurance that God was gracious, even when he felt that he himself had failed. And so for you, whether you are like Luther, with deep anxieties about what may come in the future, or whether you don't think so much about heaven and hell, but focus on the troubles of this life, I believe this word is for you. God, through Jesus Christ, is freeing us from all anxiety. And God gives us the faith to respond to Christ with trust. Hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and justified by faith. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.